engineers in the studio behind the glass giving us the old thumbs up, getting ready to go. And Mark Lukey, my partner to my left, has given me the thumbs up, getting ready to go. And I don't know who to watch, but well, I think, Brandon, you're the boss, pal.
You get so excited, you jump the gun a little bit.
I do get excited.
So usually we miss about the first three sentences that you say. So
it happened again.
It happened again?
That was my fault,
though. Oh, okay.
Well, let's start again, okay? Because it's not my fault. I do get excited, but I'll tell you what. Brandon gave me the thumbs up, right? On the Killer Bee, the brand new station, the Killer Bee, with a WLKX.
WQPM.
Right? Oh, whatever. I don't give a rat's butt, but it's a Killer Bee. But anyway, so Brandon gives me the thumbs up.
Yes.
And then I wait about 3 seconds, and you give me the thumbs up. And then I started to talk, and Brandon.
And you're still cut off.
It up.
But that was my bad.
After all these years.
Usually Brian has the conference studio all set up because he had guests in there earlier for the Homegrown show, but that was not the case tonight. He was alone.
We forgive you, Brandon. We forgive you.
I see the judgment in your eyes.
Well, let's introduce ourselves to everyone on the Killer Bee Network that might not know who the heck we are.
Oh, I think you know who we are. Go ahead. Give it a shot.
Well, we are the Four Outdoorsmen. We are three guys normally with the name of the Four Outdoorsmen, but Boomer is gone tonight. He is doing a photo shoot with the Fluke Master, Gene Jensen, who is a YouTube star. I guess that took precedence over hanging out with us today. But right now we have me, Mark Lukey, producer, and Steve Straczynski. And we talk outdoors, hunting, and fishing. We're not experts in anything, but we like to tell stories, right?
We like to tell stories, like to be asked. Let me ask you a question. What makes someone, who's to determine whether someone is a YouTube star?
I think if you have, you know, a couple hundred thousand subscribers and millions of views, you're technically a YouTube star.
All right, so the Fluke Master probably has a couple hundred thousand.
I would say if you're making 100% of your income on YouTube, you're a YouTube star.
Yeah. Hey, I tell you what, welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen, everybody. This is Strewman, Steve Straczynski, Mark Lukey, my producer and partner tonight. We always have Boomer Stelmach as our third guy, but he's out doing something right now. He's the real Mark. I mean, Boomer is the only real deal on the Four Outdoorsmen. He's always fishing. He's always hunting. He's
always the real deal, Stu.
I'm a BSer, man. I know nothing about the stuff these guys do all the time. I go out and play. I like to play around a golf, have a few cocktails, and throw a fishing rod in my hand so I can earn the honor of being one of the Four Outdoorsmen.
You are an integral part of this machine.
You know what? I am the reason this machine is running, pal. That's why. Hey, we got a hell of a show tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun, don't we?
Yeah, we have a lot of guests. We have. Why don't you go through? You got them all this time.
I got them all this time, and I don't get paid for that.
Why don't you go through and tell everyone who we're going to be talking to?
Hey, we're going to start with Dan Goff. And about Dan Goff is from Woodbury, Minnesota, in about 5 or 10 minutes or so. And Dan Goff, if you are living under a rock someplace, you don't know this story. But Dan Goff was with his pretty wife, Andy, who I've met a number of times, and Dan Goff is, by coincidence, a friend of mine for many, many years. And he and his wife were on the St. Croix River just doing their thing on their boat, you know, cruising like they do 1 or 2 times a week, and saw the eagle and the interaction with the muskie. And it's a once-in-a-lifetime deal. It is. I don't know how many. He'll tell us how many hundreds of thousands of views this thing has had.
Oh, yeah, millions, millions. You really have a knack for getting viral videos. Like, we've had a couple of those. And, I remember calling you, hey, you see this video of an eagle? And you're like, what are you talking about? And I sent it to you, and you're like, oh, that's my buddy. How is that possible?
I know Danny Goff. Yeah, out of the millions of people in the world, and Dan Goff is someone I've known for many years. And last week we had, and hopefully, Danny, if you're listening right now, Dan was not aware of the young kid last week that we had on the air who put a slipknot rope around his 6-foot sturgeon and dragged it out of Minnehaha Creek.
Mm-hmm.
And so I shared that with Dan. Hopefully you got that. So that's been cool. So Danny's going to be on first. Then we got a guy named Johnny Candle. He's out of Devil's Lake, North Dakota. He's a professional fishing guide. He's a media guru. Been out there a long, long time. He's got really a wide array of talents. And he's going to talk about Devil's Lake guiding out there. And what's happening with him in Devil's Lake, which is our one of our great sponsors. He's next.
Devil's Lake's been with us since the beginning, and we haven't really checked in with them in a while, so we got to see what's going down at Devil's Lake.
Yeah, then we got a young man named Grant Summerhauser, I think is the last name, right? Is that Grant's last name?
Yep.
And he and his brother Hunter do a lot of everything. They used to have HG Bait Co. Mm-hmm. when they were 15 years old. In fact, Hunter and Grant were the first people we ever had in studio 5 years ago when we were the Ticket Outdoors. And Mom and Dad came, and they were on air. It was a great show, and they were starting a bait company. Now they've expanded their life, and they just came back from a couple-week trip out to Washington State to go catch a sturgeon. So I want to hear all about that. Those guys are crazy.
We've been doing this a while. When we first had them on, they were like kids.
Yeah, 15 years old.
Now they're 20 years old.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. How was your week, friend? What did you do all week?
Oh, my week was great. My wife was out of town.
All right.
At the farm, so bachelor.
That's why you called me a couple
nights
ago. That's
why I called everyone. I'm not very good at being alone, so I called everyone I knew. Went out to dinner. I went up to the cabin last night, did a little fishing, caught a few northerns. My friend Barry came with me, and then we golfed at Minnesota National.
So when did April come back from wherever she was?
Saturday afternoon.
So you had 5 days with no
wife? No, Wednesday to Saturday.
Man, that's exciting.
It's weird, though. It was quiet. For those of you who don't know, I have 3 boys, 6 and under, and my life is a whirlwind. It was very, very quiet.
I'm guessing there were different television channels you were watching.
Nah, everyone else goes to bed at 9 and I stay up. And it was basically the same thing. Me on the couch drinking beer by myself.
Oh, speaking of beer.
9 o'clock.
Hey, speaking of beer, don't forget this. Now, I've got a whole bunch of beer in my car for you. Remember?
All right.
Yeah, you guys don't know this, but Super Stewie here is now a gluten-free guy. I sound like a tree hugger. It just sounds beep, beep, yeah. And all the beer in my house I can't drink anymore. So I'm giving you, I guess, a Miller Lite for you.
I'm getting all sorts of stuff.
Oh, yeah. So,
but then you raided my cabinet on the way here. You're like, do you have any gluten-free snacks? I have no idea what's gluten-free.
Well, you learn very quickly, pal.
Is it working? That's the important thing.
I lost 4 pounds, and I can't afford to lose 4 pounds. I'm 5'7", 144 pounds. That's not very much. That's so, about what Danny Goff weighs these days.
So you've been traveling the country this week.
Yeah.
Tell us about your trip to Milwaukee, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dino and I had a lot of fun. I worked part-time for the Minnesota Twins, and so we took a couple of days. I bought some tickets like in August. I mean, this is August. In June or July for these two games in Milwaukee, the Twins against Milwaukee in Milwaukee, and it was an absolute riot. It was a beautiful, beautiful day both days. Had a lot of fun. Meet a bunch of people. A lot of Twins fans were there. Both games were extremely emotional, you know, back and forth, back and forth. And we should have won them both. We should have lost the first when we won it. We should have won the second when we lost it. But it was just a lot of fun. And then we're planning on going down to Kansas City and watching them September 27th, the last series of the year. And that's going to be fun because I'm thinking it's going to mean something down. And I've never been down to Kansas City.
What baseball parks haven't you gone to in the Midwest here? Have you been to Cleveland yet or
no,
Detroit?
No.
Are you going to do it?
No.
You don't really care?
Not really. No. I've been to Chicago, been to Milwaukee now. Saints.
That counts.
Yeah. No, I'm not 4 or 5. That's about it. You know, that's about it.
But I can see you touring the country doing that kind of thing.
Yeah, but Dinah wouldn't go with me, I don't think. You know, she's got to be at the cabin and should check. And she's probably in the flower garden right now with a gin and tonic in her hand.
You mentioned, congratulations, it's your anniversary coming up this week.
Tuesday, yeah, our 37th anniversary. And I love you, Sugar Plum, tons, you know that. So very blessed to have gotten lucky when her first husband screwed up 37 years ago and I got lucky. So
way to swoop in there.
So anyway, I'm not going to be celebrating 37 years with her because I'll be working the Twins Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And she's going to be at the cabin Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So I'll try to catch up with her Wednesday night and try to. Now, I get to go to the cabin. It'll be dark by the time I get to the cabin. I'll probably pick some flowers from some garden along the along Highway
well.
8.
Oh, save some money.
She won't know the difference.
Poison ivy.
Buck's a buck. What do you got? They got a couple shout-outs?
Yeah. So for those of you that don't know, on the Killer Bee Radio Network, if you go to our Facebook page, The Number 4 Outdoorsman, and comment on the shout-out post, we'll read it on air if we can. First one is from our friend John Marshall. Had a great morning on Mille Lacs fishing with vets. Took 2 vets out and enjoyed every second with Lonnie and Bob. Although I didn't get them on fish, was still a great time. And our friend Corey Bechtold says, full report coming on What's Working Now Facebook page. And new puppy Rio is loving the Alumacraft. Looks like they got a new puppy on the boat.
Who took the vets out?
John Marshall.
John Marshall. Good for him, buddy. Yeah, there's a lot of people who do a lot of things for the vets.
Yeah, for sure.
That's wonderful, yeah.
So I think that we have our first guest on. Grant, are you there?
No.
Not Grant.
Come on, pal.
Which one?
You're not that old. You didn't forget all the... What, Dan Goff, buddy. Dan Goff.
Oh, Dan Goff.
Welcome to the 4 Outdoorsman, Dan Goff.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Every day's a gift, my friend. I'll tell you what. You're a super... Can I have your autograph?
Yeah, right.
Hey, I'll tell you what, Dan.
You're the big deal around
here. I'm the big deal around you. Danny, he listens to us once in a while, and he likes the Facebook posts we do and all that, you know, the promos and whatnot. So I've known Dan Goff for a long, long time. As a matter of fact, it's been at least 22 years right now because Dan Goff, I met him when his family was building townhomes in the all over the metropolitan area, and Diane and I happened to build a townhome with Danny Goff's family. So Dan helped us put the transaction together, and we've been friends ever since because we didn't get screwed by Dan Goff. And so, you know, it's like everything worked out, Dan. We're still in the house, and it's still standing, so not a whole lot of complaints there. So, but how you been, my friend? What's new with you?
Well, not too much. We're just living the dream out here in Woodbury.
I'm going to tell you what. We're going to talk about what you went through with the eagle and the muskie a couple of weeks back, whatever it was. But I got to share this with you. Dan Goff played hockey for University of Michigan in 1984, 1985, a couple of years there, and had a nice career there, didn't you? How did you guys do when you were playing hockey at the University of Michigan?
Well, you know, it was a tough time, I think. We actually had a – that was when Red Berenson – I don't know if you guys know that name, but
absolutely.
Red was, he actually came in my second year, my sophomore year, and he took over the program at that point. And to tell you how long it was ago, he's already retired, and he had a historic career.
Yeah, so, no, it's a...
That was his first year when I was a, mid-80s.
So. Now, you played 2 years for the University of Michigan. Did you go to school there for 4 years? And if so, why not play all 4 years?
Well, that's part of the, you know, change over there was Red asked if I would transfer. I actually had a scholarship there for a four-year deal, and I didn't do anything wrong to, you know, release the scholarship. So I decided to stay there, played my freshman and sophomore year, and then I finished school there, and, you know, I was okay. I was actually a regular student, non-athletic student, my junior and senior year, but I did graduate.
Attaboy, I'm glad. I'm proud of you. All right, let's talk about it. You were on the St. Croix River a week or two ago with your wife, Andy, and just cruising, and just share the story for the last time because you've been telling it for a million times. We've seen the videos. This is a great story. Tell us exactly what happened.
Yeah, so it's kind of fun. We're just boaters. We're not fishermen and hunters. We basically go down there. We have a slip in the Afton Marina, which is the Minnesota side, obviously, and 12 minutes from Woodbury. We pop down there maybe 2-3 days a week. So we do get out quite a bit. But this last Wednesday it wasn't that long ago, Stru. It was just a few days ago.
Yeah, cool.
So Wednesday about 2:30 we went out, and nobody's out there. It's kind of a later time of year. The boaters are kind of shutting down after July. And, I mean, there might have been 4 or 5 boats we saw. But we came right out the marina maybe the first minute or two, and that's when I saw the eagle. I didn't know it was an eagle at this point. I thought it was just a bird, you know, maybe a seagull or some sort. And then as we got closer, you could see, it's much bigger, and it's just floating there. It wasn't moving or struggling, but it looked weird because you see a raptor in the water.
Yeah, that is strange.
Yeah, the bald eagle, and I'm like, what the heck? But then I saw, and that's, I don't know if you've heard the video, but the audio, I guess walleye and bass. Well, the issue with that, I was like, it's an upside down fish with a big white belly. And I knew it wasn't a carp. I was kind of hoping it wasn't a carp that he had in his talons underneath the water. And I'm like, wow, that's a pike of some kind. And then I saw the side color. So I'm thinking, well, it could be a smallmouth because there's a ton of them down there. But he gets it near shore as the video unfolds, and when he dragged it out, it's a freaking muskie, and that's when we lost it, you know, because you know you just don't see it, and it was a good. I mean, I overdid it in the video, but that's a natural reaction. I wasn't trying to, you know, ham it up. I was just saying, holy shit!
That's all right. That's all right.
So anyway, it's 10-pound muskie. It was just bizarre to see that. So.
It's a great video. Go ahead, Mark's got a question.
So I've seen this video, you know, on local news, and then it even made it to national news. So do you know at this point how many views does your video have?
Yeah. So Stru, I think you might have said Facebook, but it's on Twitter, and I think that's why it blew up so much. It has over 1.8 million views, and I think part of the reason is I just put on a simple tweet, but it left a little bit left to the imagination. It wasn't it wasn't bald eagle drags fish to shore as a big muskie. It was more like you know, injured bald eagle or no, he wasn't kind of deal. And I think as far as my reaction or people that have reacted to me called me and said that's what kind of surprised them when they saw it kind of swimming in the water and then dragging a big
yeah.
old fish.
Well, you kind of teased everybody to say, here, is it or is it not? And that made people open it up and all of a sudden it's gone viral. You're a smart young man.
So yeah, well, I didn't think of it. I thought I might get, you know, maybe 100 views. I didn't even think about it. I'm not a big Twitter guy, but by that night, I mean, literally, it was 30,000 within, a couple hours. It was just blew up. And then, you know, obviously since has flowed, but even now, I look at this, Twitter has an analytic deal, and you can track it a little bit. And I mean, even in the slow time here, it's probably 1,000 every hour that are still kind of looking at it.
Yeah. Do you ever think maybe you should have put it on YouTube because you could have gotten paid for all those views?
Right. I think that, I don't know, that ship may have sailed, I think, a few years back. I think the rules changed a little bit.
Yeah, tell you, Danny, did you see, I think this is wonderful because it's the right place and the right time, because if you were 5 minutes earlier or 5 minutes later, this would never even happen. It's like it's not even existing. How big, you know, you said this fish was probably about 10 pounds, you think, about that? That's got to be, what, 25 inches? Is that 30-inch fish?
Bigger than that.
30-inch
yeah.
fish?
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine the strength of these animals, the bald mm-hmm. eagles? Did you see a couple of years ago, Dan, and you can find this on YouTube, there's somebody up in the Boundary Waters, and they're filming an eagle, a bald eagle, who's going to land and try to pick up an otter or a beaver or a muskrat or something, and it couldn't pick it up. He picked it up, but it kept dropping it because it was just too darn heavy. Eventually, this animal, the bald eagle, figured it out. He landed on this animal and used his wings as oars to push himself to shore. That was amazing as well. Right places, right time. Boy, yep. I tell you what. Dan, good for you, man. So what else are you doing? Are you still working with the old man? What's going on?
Actually, no, we've kind of got our own thing going. We're taking care of some residential rental properties, and he's kind of doing the same thing. So we've kind of evolved into more of a residential property owner, and we have a management company that kind of takes care of that for us, and we kind of oversee that. So it's worked out good. I mean, coming from a home builder to that kind of situation, so it's been working good.
Oh, good for you. I'll tell you what, this is a great story, and thanks for letting us bother you, because we have a lot of listeners on this show, and it's going to be a podcast on Tuesday probably, then we'll rebroadcast mm-hmm. this show on Bob's Old Country on Saturday, and as a result of this conversation, you're going to get a whole lot more hits on your Twitter. I'm not even a Twitter guy. I don't want to be a Twitter guy, you know, but I'm excited for you guys. This is something that's going to be with you the rest of your lives, man.
Sure.
All right, you take care of yourself. Say hi to Andy. Say hi to Mom and Dad for me, if you would. And we'll stay in touch, and thanks for being on the 4 Outdoorsman.
Okay.
You take care, my friend.
Thank you.
You bet, Danny. Bye-bye. Isn't that a great story?
That is cool.
Right place, right time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, we're going to be right back with Johnny Candle. Johnny Candle's from Devil's Lake, North Dakota, our premier sponsor, Devil's Lake Tourism. I can't wait to talk to this guy. He's got a hell of a story.
All right. Stick around. We'll be back soon.
Just enjoying Bob Outdoors with the 4 Outdoorsmen on a Sunday evening. It's a good thing.
Sign up now for Gold Medals Hunting Preserve pre-buy program, Central Minnesota's premier hunting preserve. Buy before August 25th, birds priced at $18.75. No membership, guest, or gun fees. Gold Medals Hunting Preserve, pheasant hunting at its best. Go to goldmedals.com.
With 160,000 acres of water, Devil's Lake is just waiting for you. I'll tell you what, walleye season's all year round. You can keep 5 a day with 10 in possession, and as Boomer likes to boast, there's no slot limit. The Northern Pike averaged nearly 5 pounds, and there's some reason why Devil's Lake are in the nickname is the perch capital of the world, and you'll quickly find out why Devil's Lake has been ranked one of the top 5 fishing lakes in the entire country. Hey, I'll tell you what, plenty of package options as well to make your fishing experience just that a great experience. Hey, check it out, devilslakend.com.
Right down the street from our studio in Ramsey, Minnesota, off of Highway 10, is the best marine and power sports dealer in the Twin Cities, Power Lodge. Boomer here, looking for a new Alumacraft with an Evinrude motor, Sea-Doo jet ski, or a Can-Am ATV for your next adventure? Power Lodge has you covered with three locations in Ramsey, Onamia, and in Brainerd. With full service shops at three locations and award-winning customer service, Power Lodge is where I take my boat to get ready for the open water. Visit powerlodge.com to learn more.
Boy, it's getting hot outside. And that's bad news for your live bait, but there is a simple and extremely effective solution. That, my friend, is Fishing Buddy Cooler. It's a cooler designed specifically for your live bait. Patented designs keep the bait cool for over 8 hours in 85 degree temperatures. Keeping your bait lively and fresh, of course, catches more fish and keeps you from going back to the bait store. And it pays for itself in no time. Buy yours today at fishingbuddycooler.com. Hey, we're back on the Four Outdoorsmen on the Killer Bee tonight. So if you're listening to the Killer Bee and you're not used to the Four Outdoorsmen, Strewman is one of them. Mark Lukey's the other. Boomer Stelmach is our third. And he's doing something on Mille Lacs Lake someplace.
And Brandon, our fourth, is behind the glass over there.
Yeah, but Brandon keeps screwing up, man. We don't want to claim him just yet.
Strew.
We don't want to claim him just
yet. You love me and you
yet.
Know it.
Hey, we must have another guest on the air, right? Johnny Candle, are you there?
I am here.
Boy, Johnny, I'll tell you what. Johnny Candle's out of Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsmen. I know you're friends of the Devil's Lake Tourism and Susie and the gang up there and Tanner, our old buddy. Tell us all about Johnny Candle, because I know you've been fishing for a long, long time. What happens? What is your responsibility? What are you doing in Devil's Lake, North Dakota?
Well, I'm a full-time professional angler. I tournament fish all across the country, and I have been since 1993. I've lived in Devil's Lake since the year 2000 when the water was rising. I took advantage of an exploding walleye fishery and moved my guide service here and have been here ever since. So I make this my headquarters. When I'm home and not on the road tournament fishing, I'm here guiding. I spend the winter months traveling around the country, giving seminars, putting on fishing classes, representing my marketing partners across the United States. So I fish every day or I talk about it. So fishing's pretty much my life.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Johnny, you talked about in the year 2000, you switched direction and went to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Did you actually consciously have your own crystal ball and say, well, you could see something happening in Devil's Lake that would be long range for you as a professional fisherman?
Well, I could lie to you and say, yeah, I did. I don't think anybody really knew.
Yeah.
You know, the lake was growing. The flooding really started kicking in the mid-90s, and folks were watching it grow and get bigger, and the fishing was getting better. As with any fishery, when the water comes up, you have new flooded habitat, new spawning grounds, and fisheries tend to explode. Did anyone know that it was going to turn into what it is today? I don't think so. And I don't think anybody really wanted it to be honest.
Oh, I'm sure that's the case.
There was a lot of stuff that came along the way with the flooding that wasn't so positive.
Yeah.
A lot of infrastructure had to be raised and moved and homes destroyed and people lost their livelihood and a lot of that stuff too. So, but yeah, you saw something coming. It was the hot spot at that time in my life. I was a single young man. And why not give it a shot, right? Who knew that 20 years later I'd still be here with a family and raising my family right on the shores of the lake? So it was a good decision, a little bit of luck involved. I won't lie about it, but I'd rather be lucky than good just about any day.
Hey, I'll tell you what, that's a great story. Mark Lukey, he's got a question for you, my buddy Mark.
So you've traveled the Midwest, and did you just do a tournament or something in Devil's Lake and decide, hey, this is the place I need to be?
Well, I got to North Dakota the first time by fishing a tournament.
Mm-hmm.
That was on Lake Sakakawea, and I met a young lady there that caught my fancy that
Ooh.
Kept me in North Dakota. that young lady is not part of my life now, but she got me here. And once I got to North Dakota, I mean, honestly, I don't know if you could pick wrong. You've got the Missouri
right.
River south of Lake Sakakawea, then you've got the giant reservoir, Lake Sakakawea. And I was guiding there, but when I saw Devil's Lake take off and things changed in my personal life a little bit, Devil's guy, the Perch Patrol, Zippy Doll, and those guys, they said, hey, come on over. The lake's getting big. There's really no services established here yet. You might as well get in on the ground floor. A good friend of mine, Tony Dean, which some of you may or may not remember,
sure.
TV also recommended, hey, you want to start something from the ground up, get over there to Devil's Lake. It's coming on. It's going to be the next best thing. And they were right. And I'm glad that they convinced me to come over here.
So where did you grow up originally, and how did you first become a professional fisherman? Was it always in your blood?
I think it was. I grew up in Northeast Ohio. I went to college at the University of Akron. If you're a sports fan, we're world famous because our mascot is the Zips. No one on earth knows what a Zip is, including myself, and I went to school there for 4 years. So, But grew up in Northeast Ohio. My father was a Lake Erie charter boat captain, so I cut my teeth catching walleyes on the big pond, Lake Erie, and man, got in trouble, I don't even want to know how many times, in study halls in high school, and even in my college notebooks, there's more pictures of fishing boats and fishing lures doodled in the corners than there are notes about the classes I was taking. So in the back of my mind, I always knew I wanted to fish or be in the fishing industry somehow. Never did I dream that I would become a tournament angler, travel the country, represent companies. You know, I always thought it would be some kind of sales position or marketing position, working inside a cubicle and talking a little bit about fishing while you're doing your job. But, man, it turned out great. I'm glad it went the way it did. And, you know, it's been a good run. Started in 1993 with my first pro tournament, and here I am in 2019 still going at it. So it's been a great ride.
Hey, John, I'm reading your background a little bit right now. And in 1988, your dad had Reader's Choice Charters, and you helped the old man there quite a bit on Lake Erie, I guess, and became got your captain's license at the age of 21, graduated from college with a degree in marketing, and like everybody who graduates from college with a degree in marketing, mm-hmm. becomes a fisherman.
I did.
Yeah, why not? You know, let's go 4 years and say screw it. Let's go fish the rest of our lives. But I tell you, you do more than fishing, obviously. You do a lot of seminars. You write articles. You host Pro's Pointer TV on NBC North Dakota, I think that is. NBC North Dakota News.
Yep.
And your fishing career, you've had eight. Now, this is if I've got the whole thing straight here. You've had a couple of firsts. You've had 18 top tens, a few firsts. And I think you took first in the MWC World Walleye title in 2010 on the Mississippi River. Is that correct?
That's correct. In 2010, I was the World Walleye Champion out of Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin, on the Mississippi River. That was a pretty incredible couple days of fishing. And, man, as a pro angler, that's the springboard you need to vault you to where you really want to be. You know, I gutted it out. I grounded out. Granted, I have some skills outside of fishing with a marketing degree. I'm a fairly good writer. I communicate okay. I can put on a pretty good seminar, and that was carrying me. I was working in the trenches way more than I really wanted to, doing sports shows and boat shows.
Oh, yeah.
You know, every weekend a different city and setting up trade show booths and tearing them down and literally washing and waxing boats if that's what it took to get somewhere to make a few bucks for the weekend. But after you get a title like that as any kind of professional, that springboards you up there a little bit. It gets the speaking engagements to come a little easier, a lot more opportunity, and, man, it's The last decade has almost been a blur. It's unbelievable, and still riding high off of that big tournament win. So it was very, very fortunate. I'm glad it happened, and I'm glad I was in a position to take advantage of it.
We're speaking with Johnny Candle from Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Johnny, do you do all of your guiding on Devil's Lake, or will you take people out to the Missouri River and other places as well?
Nope, I stay here on Devil's Lake. It's really, really hard, other than tournament fishing, to get my truck and go somewhere else to fish. I'm not going to say that Lakes Kakawea and the Missouri River and Bismarck are not phenomenal fisheries, but they're none better than what I'm on. I would call them all very equal. Obviously, you have 1 year, one's hot, and 1 year, the next is hot, but I've got everything I need right here in my backyard. We've got an incredible walleye fishery. Northern pike fishing is unbelievable. Everyone knows about our yellow perch through the ice. We've got incredible white bass fishing. Just about anything I want to do, I can do. If I want to jig or troll or Lindy rig or fish a slip bobber or cast a crankbait or a jig shallow, I can catch fish any way I want, and I can keep my customers happy and sleep in my own bed at night, which is really nice when you travel in the off season as much as I do.
Speaking of Devil's Lake, of course, there are I call them our premier sponsor. They've been with us for since probably day one, and I love the entire group over there. We try to get up there a couple of times a year ourselves. 2019, how has 2019 been as compared to the last couple of years? The rumors I've had from some people who have gone up there regularly, they've been catching a lot of walleyes, but not a whole lot of size this year. Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, it is. It is. We started the year off really, really well. You know, the ice went off, water warmed up nice and slow like you want. It didn't screw the fish up. They were in their traditional haunts, and the season started out well. We're out, you know, fishing, guiding, we're catching your fish. Springtime's a little slower. You're not getting super amounts of numbers, but we were getting limits of fish, and they were nice, you know, 17, 18, 19-inch fish, an occasional 23, 24, take a picture, throw it back. But once the heat of summer got here, about 4th of July weekend, those big fish have become really scarce. We're catching numbers of fish, absolutely incredible. I ran a guide trip today. Weather turned south on us a little. It was only in the mid-60s. We had a 20-mile-an-hour northwest wind, and we still caught 50 or 60 walleyes today to keep our 15. But the size, you're right, it's a lot of 14, 15, 16-inch fish, not those 17, 18, 19-inch fish we're used to seeing. They've got to be here somewhere. They don't just disappear on July 1st.
Yeah.
But no one's really cracked the code. There's a big tournament here this last weekend, and even the tournament anglers, you know, that are looking for those larger fish. The winners did really well, but by 10th place, it was only a 3-pound fish average. And very rarely on Devil's Lake does a 3-pound average get you a top 10 in a major tournament. So something's going on. I don't believe it's the health of the fishery. I think the lake has changed a little bit again, and now as anglers, we have to figure it out.
So, Johnny, usually when we would go, Tanner would have us dragging bottom bouncers, and we've had some success. And then that young man won the tournament there using lead core and crankbaits. What's been your go-to approach to catching walleyes this year?
Well, right now it's bottom bouncers and spinners, and we're still doing some vertical jigging and slip bobber fishing while leeches are still available. Mm-hmm. As you guys know, that's coming to an end really quick. So that it's going to be for the numbers game. It's going to be bottom bouncers and spinners for a while. But to find those larger fish, the days that I do get a client or two that say, hey, we're not really worried about eaters, we'd like to go catch a couple bigger ones. I myself have been using a lot of lead core, some bigger crankbaits, and another sleeper technique. Well, it's really not a sleeper anymore, but maybe not quite mainstream, is the vertical jigging with your ice fishing baits, your your jigging wraps, your shiver minnows, and those kind of things. But again, focusing on that deeper water, 30, 35, 40 feet down, you need something heavy that's going to get down there. So the lead core or the big heavy jigging wraps to get you down to the depth seems to be where those bigger fish are hanging out.
Hey, Johnny, you probably have the only of all the professional fishermen that I've met, have the only radio disc jockey name, Johnny Kendall. You know, it just sounds like you should be on the radio. But anyway, I was looking at your schedule, your website. I'm telling you this, I think your website's one of the best websites I've ever seen in this industry. And I mean that sincerely. I don't know much about them, but everything was so easy to find. Everything about you, the schedule, the pricing and everything, it's wonderful. Now, your schedule is so filled up, but I know you like doing other things as well. I want you to tell us all about Devil's Lake Walleye School that's coming up on the 19th of September and the 22nd of September. That sounds really interesting.
Yeah, they're a fun time. It's one of those things that I enjoy teaching that almost as much as I do going fishing myself. So I team up with Doc Sampson, who's also known as Dr. Sonar. He's a longtime tournament professional from Minnesota. He's won a lot of titles. Phenomenal, phenomenal teacher of marine electronics, regardless of the brand. So he and I team up. We start on Thursday evening with some classroom seminars, some on electronics, some on locating and finding fish, and then determining how to go about catching them. And then Friday and Saturday, we break the day into hour-and-a-half blocks, where we spend time in your boat with you and your equipment on the water. So we'll usually have between 4 and 6 teachers. We get a couple other guys from our sponsors, pro staffs, to come help. So they're also professional anglers. And we're in your boats, hands-on, your electronics, your trolling motor, your rod holders, your kicker motor, teaching you the techniques you want to learn and teaching you how to better understand the depth finder on the dash of your boat so you can look at it, know what you're seeing, use that information to catch more fish. What I love about it is you don't have to get in my boat, watch me do it, and then figure out how to do it in yours. We do it with your stuff. So you should be able to leave the class, go home to your favorite lake, drive around, mark a fish, and catch it just like you do here in Devil's Lake when you're with us.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, if you guys want, if you're interested in that, I think it's a great idea. If you just look up Johnny Candle, Devil's Lake, North Dakota, he's all over the place. I don't even know the name of your guide service. What is the name of your guide service?
I don't have a name of my service. It's just Johnny Candle.
That's why I couldn't find it.
Find
anyway,
it out. Yep.
You guys are, this whole thing is 3 days, listen to this, and correct me if I'm wrong, Johnny, 3 days of all the class, then going on the water a couple of times with your boat and whatnot, and that's, I'm not sure if meals are involved or not, but that's 3 days at Woodland Resort, which is the Cadillac of all resorts, in my opinion, out that way. For $695, I think that is a very, very fair price with what you're offering.
Yeah, that's all your meals, all your lodging, a boat dock for the weekend, your bait and ice, and the class. All you got to do is put gas in your boat and show up and be ready to go fishing for $695.
And I still have a couple of bucks
for you. It's a good time. Should be a great weekend of fishing.
I still have a couple bucks for a couple cocktails, wouldn't I?
Heck yeah, you would.
All right, yeah. Hey, Johnny, wouldn't let you do. I'll go. I tell you what, Johnny Candle, Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Thank you very much for being part of the Four Outdoorsmen. Thanks for supporting Devil's Lake and helping us promote Devil's Lake because it is an unbelievable fishery. There's so many stories behind the history of Devil's Lake. I love to share it every time I'm talking to somebody about fishing. Devil's Lake, North Dakota, Johnny Candle, thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsmen.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Yep, say hi to Susie and the gang, would you?
Will do.
All right, take care, buddy. Boy, that's
we got to go with him next time we're out there.
Yeah, well, screw Tanner, right? Yeah, let's go with Johnny. We'll work it out. I tell you, I'm going to schmooze. This guy knows his stuff.
Yeah, he's a great speaker.
Oh, he's a great speaker. He's got a nice sense of humor, and I'm glad to thank you, Susie, for putting us in touch with Johnny Candle. He's the real deal, and Devil's Lake is the real deal. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, I got a couple more shout-outs. I got a special shout-out from Mike Lund. He was in Rice Lake, Wisconsin last week. Mike Lund grew up about five houses away from me. We were best friends when I was about 6 years old to about high school. So congratulations, Mike. Good to see you here. Also, Shannon Cruz says he's crushing it, and the picture looks like he's fishing at nighttime. I asked him where he was, and he said central Minnesota. So the fish are biting in central Minnesota, everybody. Why don't we talk about our sponsors here before break?
You can do them all.
I can?
Yeah.
Well, first one is Fishing Buddy Cooler, the absolute best way to keep your bait cool all day, up to 8 hours in 80-degree weather.
I will back that one because I use it all the time when we go out, and I tell you, it really does work. It's a great idea. Locally made as well in the state of Minnesota.
Power Lodge is a great Alumacraft dealer. They also have ATVs, all sorts of anything that you need, power sports. I saw they have Argo, the six-wheel driving, boating things, too. I saw them at Game Fair last week. So go down to Power Lodge right down the road here in Ramsey, Minnesota. Check them out. And Devil's Lake, of course. We just talked about Devil's Lake. And Alumacraft boat's the best fishing boat on the water, and I hope to pick one up this week.
Mark is going to get his. He's been looking at his Alumacraft. He's going to buy a used one from down in St. Peter. You're going down that way, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's working on a deal right now. Mark sells advertising for Ron Scherer Productions, so he's a pretty good negotiator, and he's going to get himself a good deal.
I wouldn't say that. They could give me any price, and I'd probably buy it. I hope Bruce from Alumacraft is not listening. And one other shout-out, my friend Sam Oftedal. I saw him at Game Fair, and he co-hosted with me when you guys were gone.
Yeah.
So, hey, Sam, he also invited me hunting, and we talked about that, so I might be dishing you. Are you going to the hunting shack this year?
I am. Can you want to come with me?
Can I go an opener, maybe?
Probably not.
Okay. We'll see. We'll work it out.
We'll see what's going on.
We'll see
there.
If I get one with
I won't
Sam.
Even go opener, I don't think.
Yeah.
I'm going to go up there sometime just to hope I don't shoot anything. I don't want to drag it out of the woods. We don't have four-wheelers and stuff like you guys do around here.
You have
here,
a big ox of a friend that can drag it out for you.
You?
Yes.
Who's going to drag you out when you have a heart attack?
Not you.
Brandon, give us some music, pal. We're going to take a break here and get on to Grant's Summer Hauser, I think Grant's last name is. We're going to find out again, but he's just came back from Washington State on a big, big trip with his brother. Talk to you in a few minutes.
Checking in with the Four Outdoorsmen. Find them at mybobcountry.com under the Weekend tab.
Sign up now for Gold Medals Hunting Preserve pre-buy program, Central Minnesota's premier hunting preserve. Buy before August 25th, birds priced at $18.75. No membership, guest, or gun fees. Gold Medals Hunting Preserve, pheasant hunting at its best. Go to goldmedals.com.
With 160,000 acres of water, Devil's Lake is just waiting for you. I'll tell you what, walleye season's all year round. You can keep five a day with 10 in possession. And as Boomer likes to boast, there's no slot limit. A northern pike averaged nearly 5 pounds, and there's some reason why Devil's Lake are in the nickname is the perch capital of the world, and you'll quickly find out why Devil's Lake has been ranked one of the top five fishing lakes in the entire country. Hey, I'll tell you what, plenty of package options as well to make your fishing experience just that, a great experience. Hey, check it out, devilslakend.com.
Right down the street from our studio in Ramsey, Minnesota, off of Highway 10, is the best marine and power sports dealer in the Twin Cities, Power Lodge. Boomer here, looking for a new Alumacraft with an Evinrude motor, Sea-Doo jet ski, or a Can-Am ATV for your next adventure? Power Lodge has you covered with three locations in Ramsey, Onamia, and in Brainerd. With full service shops at three locations and award-winning customer service, Power Lodge is where I take my boat to get ready for the open water. Visit powerlodge.com to learn more.
Boy, it's getting hot outside. And that's bad news for your live bait, but there is a simple and extremely effective solution. That, my friend, is Fishing Buddy Cooler. It's a cooler designed specifically for your live bait. Patented designs keep the bait cool for over 8 hours in 85 degree temperatures. Keeping your bait lively and fresh, of course, catches more fish and keeps you from going back to the bait store. And it pays for itself in no time. Buy yours today at fishingbuddycooler.com. Hey, we're back in the Four Outdoorsmen on the Killer Bee radio station. Whatever numbers they are, I have no idea.
95.9, oh, that's Killer Bee.
That's what it is. And, yeah, the Four Outdoorsmen, of course, is normally on Bob Total Country. If you happen to be listening to the Killer Bee and just turned in, you're listening to the Four Outdoorsmen right now because the Minnesota Lynx preempted us. They kicked us out of our slot like they do once in a while during their season.
Yes.
But we will have this podcast on Tuesday, then rebroadcast on Bob Total Country Saturday morning, the Four Outdoorsmen. Mark?
I got one more shout out here. Jeremy Colson says, fishing with vets at Woodland Resort, Devil's Lake, North Dakota, caught over 500 fish. Thank you, Jeremy, for writing in. And thank you for being involved with Fishing with Vets. That's a great organization.
500 fish. How many weeks was he up there?
It was just last weekend.
Just 3 days or so.
Looks like a lot of guys, though.
Well, I don't care. It's a lot of fish.
That is a lot of fish. Jeepers, so they're biting on Devil's Lake, so go check it out.
All right. I'm guessing we have another guest, do we not? Grant, are you there?
Yep, I am here.
Hey, Grant, say your last name for us, would you?
Summerhauser.
We were right. See, you guys, and your brother Hunter were on the show. Actually, back then, we were the Ticket Outdoors about 5 years ago, and we had you in studio with your mom and dad. It was so exciting for everybody because our show was new. You guys were new.
I still have those jigs you made for us too.
I got the glitter jigs. I still use the glitter jigs.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it actually was Angler and Hunter when.
Yeah,
we
that was, so that was two names ago.
Yeah,
that was Angler and Hunter. You're right. You've known us for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's but no, we just got back from Washington, hauled the Alumacraft out there, and it was about a 3,700-mile trip with a little car. And
wow.
our main goal was to fish for white sturgeon and on the Columbia, and that's what we did. We ended up getting 9 white sturgeon, the biggest being around 78 inches.
All right, go ahead. Now, slow down a little bit. So you and your brother decide to hop in a car and drive to Washington State. So how did this plan come about? Why did you do it? And how did you figure out what to do?
You sound like you and your brother were smoking dope like Mark did when he was in college, you know?
Yeah.
All of a sudden.
We've actually thought about going out west for a couple of years now. And we've kind of, this year has been like our bucket list year. We went up to Lake Nipigon in Canada. So we thought, we've always wanted a white sturgeon fish.
Yeah.
So 2 weeks ago, we decided we're going to do it. We hopped in the car, left, and fished there in Washington State for 5 days and caught 9 sturgeon. We actually went to Sportsman's Warehouse out there and connected with a couple guys. They gave us some tips on tackle, and we kind of figured out areas to fish and actually caught the biggest fish in the first 10 minutes of the whole trip, which was
pretty
cool.
Oh, my God. Now, what kind of car, how big is your Alumacraft, and what kind of car were you pulling it with?
It's a 2007 Toyota Matrix. It has a 1.8 liter four cylinder engine. It's a V14 Alumacraft, so it isn't a super big boat, but we have a 24 volt Encoda system on there. So I mean, it's maxed out, but it made it up the 5% grades in Idaho and still getting about 24, 25 miles to the gallon.
Did you drive like 75 miles an hour through Montana, like the speed limit, or do you have to chug along at 50?
Well, it's 80 in Montana, and we kind of stuck around 70 because I don't want to be running 3,500 RPM all the way through Montana.
Hey, Grant, you're 20 years old now, right?
I'm 20, and my brother's 21, yep.
Where does a guy now? Where do two kids, brothers who are 20 and 21, get the money to stay in really nice hotels on a 3,700 mile trip?
Well, all you got to do is have really lenient girlfriends and no job, and you can do it.
And on the way back, you told me what was your housing like on the way back from Washington?
I'm sorry.
Where did you sleep on the way back?
We actually drove 28 hours straight.
And you just napped in your car, right?
Yep, and we actually slept in the car for 10 days.
That's the point I was trying to get, because you guys weren't spending $150 a night on hotels. You were saving money and sleeping in the car.
The most expensive part of the trip, it cost probably, I haven't done the math, but around $600, because gas is cheap to fill up in a car. And I mean, the most expensive thing was the licenses in Washington State. For 3 days, it's $35 for non-residents.
Wow.
So I've seen these white sturgeon pictures before. Obviously, it's on a lot of guys' bucket list because it's kind of a rare thing. How does one go about catching? I know how you catch sturgeon here. How does one go about catching sturgeon in Washington, and how big do those suckers get?
A more realistic size is about 10 to 11 feet. They can get up to 14, 15 in the Fraser River and the Columbia. Fraser River's in Canada. But how we fish for them was use a slip sinker style, so an 8 to 10-ounce snow roll, adjust our weight as needed because the dams are fluctuating. And we use squid for bait, 8-aught octopus hooks, barbless. You can't have barbs out there, mm-hmm. So it was barbless. And it's fished the same way as lake sturgeon does. We look for the breaks. We were fishing, finding the holes. We fished 40 feet of water, and we didn't have to use any anchors, which was nice. We have a spot lock on our trolling motor.
Nice. Yeah.
The boat isn't that heavy, so it handles the current pretty well.
That is awesome. So how did you just pull them up to the side of the boat? I mean, how do you land, or do you have to beach the boat?
Yes, if they were big enough, because you can't take them out of the water
right
this time of year. So we would grab them by the mouth, because they're a gentle giant. When you turn them on their backside, they go really calm.
Uh-huh.
And for the big ones, for those who followed us on Facebook, we get in on shore, keep them in the water, take a picture, and then they're back away. Just, they're a durable fish. And these ones, they're different than lake sturgeon. They can smell really well. Mm-hmm. They don't use their tentacles to find it. So when we caught fish, sometimes it was 1 to 2 minutes after we dropped it down, that's when we caught it.
That's awesome. That's just something that every guy dreams of doing. So good for you guys for just going for it now that you can. And the freedom, I just can't imagine having the freedom to be able to just do that kind of thing. So when we first met you, you guys made bait. And you probably realize there isn't a ton of money in making jigs. And you started doing YouTube videos instead. Am I correct with that?
Yep, that's what we do now. YouTube is kind of where our passion is. Not looking to get rich, but just the creative aspect of YouTube is fun. And being able to look back 5-10 years down the road and remember the experience and the trip that we take or took, that's the fun thing about YouTube.
So name a few of your more popular videos. What usually gets the most traffic for you guys? Is it instructional type stuff, or is it more adventures that you take?
It's, you know, YouTube, there's a thing called an algorithm, and it's kind of tough to meet when it comes to YouTube. So the review videos and the tip videos are finding what people search for the most is the toughest thing with YouTube. So we kind of kind of look for that. But we upload when we can.
You just need some girls in bikinis to be on the front page of of all your videos and they'll explode.
I know, it's in, you got to get the cops called on you, get those things that can clickbait.
Get your girlfriends in your boat to wear a bikini and your viewership will explode.
Yeah, she likes fishing, we just got to get her out on the boat a little more.
Yeah, I tell you what, that's my buddy Mark. You know,
trying to help the man with business.
I got to live this every day.
I'm in the entertainment industry, and I know what sells.
Mark still reminds me that a couple of years back we had some young lady on who was a professional fishing woman, Brooke something.
Yep.
Mark gave me the look when I said, you know, does it bother you, Brooke, that if you weren't as attractive as you are, you probably wouldn't have this job.
I can't believe he said that out loud.
Yeah. And,
well, the name of our YouTube channel is Rip Some Lips AHG, and I remember Strew exact words. He said, are you guys old enough for that movie? That was about 4 or 5 years ago, I think.
You probably weren't.
Oh, that's funny. Hey, I'm surprised they still have this job. Hey, I'll tell you what, back to the sturgeon in Washington. You say they get to be 10, 12, 14
more
feet.
Than that, yeah.
And that's an awful big fish, of course. You don't have those kind of rods here, do you, that can catch that kind of fish? What kind of rods were you using? How big are they?
Well, we actually, people kind of doubted us with what we brought out there. We use the same lake sturgeon rods here. My particular rod, it's a G. Loomis Pro Blue. It's a saltwater rod. Mm-hmm. And I bought it for the intention of being able to use it anywhere I go and not have to worry about if it's heavy enough. And we using 80-pound test is a good size. You want a heavy leader. We had 130-pound leaders. It was like a Dacron material. But 7-8-foot rods is really all you need, mm-hmm, realistically. So going out there, whoever goes out there, you don't need to go buy new tackle if you have your musky setups.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously for those guys that are fishing Lake Sturgeon here, you'll have no issue reeling them in. And we use spinning rods. We always have for sturgeon. It's just a smoother drag system, and you can get bigger power handles for cranking in those fish. Because with barbless hooks, you have to keep up with the line because it doesn't take much for the fish to come off with those hooks.
You know, I'll tell you what, I've only gone sturgeon fishing once with BK, Brian Clawwitter, who you may know who he is. He's on the St. Mississippi. He's a great, great guy. As a matter of fact, I talked to him today because he's a spam and a hams guy. And there was an article in the St. Paul Pioneer Press today about some kind of a new spam coming out with flavors. I forget what it is. So I took a picture of the article and sent it to Brian Clawwitter. But I went fishing with him one
pumpkin
time.
Pumpkin spice latte.
Say it again?
Pumpkin spice latte.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
That's right. Pumpkin spice latte spam. And so I said, well, Brian, you got to be in heaven. That's right. Well, thanks, Brandon. Anyway, so I only went fishing with him one time. I'd never gone sturgeon fishing before or since. And I caught a 51-inch sturgeon at like 11 o'clock at night, which was such an erotic emotion. It was just a fun.
Erotic?
Fun. Oh, it was. It was
I don't
just,
think that's the right
that
word.
That was it. It was erotic to me, man. It was just a cool, cool experience. But that fought like a son of a gun. And I almost gave the rod to my son, Mike. He says, no, you're going to hang on to that thing. What does a 10-foot sturgeon fight like?
Well, I'm 140 pounds. I have kind of chicken-like arms, so these fish really tested me. And if you have patience and you have time to sit and wait to reel them in, you'll definitely get it in. But some of these fish will pull you 2 miles, 3 miles downriver.
Wow.
Because it's heavy. It's 4-mile-an-hour current, which is what we are in. And another thing that's different with these fish, you fish for them during the day. You can't fish for them at night because they're highly regulated. And like Lake Sturgeon, I've always fished at night. So it's kind of different. It's a little bit different fish, but they do bite the same way. And you can catch them in very similar ways as sturgeon here.
So where is the next adventure you're going to pull that 14-foot Alumacraft to? What's next on your bucket list?
The next one is we were actually going to go to Flaming Gorge in Utah. But there was 40-mile-an-hour gusts for the next 4 days, and I've been in some scary water with this 14-foot boat, and it's not fun. So that one's probably going to be in November, in that transition from ice or open water to ice fishing, when you can't really do either. So we'll head out there, and then this winter we'll probably bring it down to Florida and fish the ocean with it. So we bought this boat I've wanted a Lumacraft for years, and we bought it with the intention of being able to use it wherever we want and go wherever we want.
What do you catch in Utah? What were you going to go for there?
Lake trout. I've never caught a lake trout before, and I know they can get up to 40 pounds down there, which is gigantic for lake trout, and it's something we've always wanted to do. So that's the next one that's going to be on the list.
Do you know how to fish from there? Do you use planer boards and stuff, like big open water kind of stuff?
I would assume so. We know someone that guides down there, Shane DuBois.
Okay.
So we'll connect with him and see what we need. I just like the comfort of, because we have this boat rigged the exact way we want it, so it's nice to be able to use it. Like, we put a 6-shaft trolling motor on there, which is way overkill for it, but we can use it in any current and any water and never have to worry about it not working the way we want it.
You speak a lot more educational than most 20-year-old kids. Boy, you've done a lot. You guys have accomplished more by the time you're 20 and 21 that most young men do by the time they're 30. So be proud of yourselves. And I'll tell you what, something else I find really interesting is that, and it's a compliment to you, is that you guys as brothers have been doing this for 5 years, give or take, and you've gone from one adventure to the other and one type of business to the other, and you're still apparently pretty good friends, I'm guessing.
Yeah, no, we were about to kill each other on the way back, being in a car for 28 hours, but we find ways to talk through things and make it work.
Did you have any problems? 3,700 miles is a long. I couldn't do it. I can't go from here to. I went and played softball last weekend in Indiana. It was 10.5 hours. I damn near died. You know, so did you have any mechanical problems with your boat or car?
We did not. I work on all my own vehicles, so I did as much preventive maintenance as I could, and with the boat as well. It has a 06 Yamaha 4-stroke on it, so it's a newer motor, and it runs really good. But 600 miles or 1,000 miles into our way back, the idler pulley on the car started to make noise, so I would spray WD-40 on it every 150 miles, and which will take care of the issue for a little bit, but we ended up making it back home.
I'll tell you what, you should contact WD-40 and make a commercial and make a few bucks out of it anyway.
I think Toyota should. We should get in contact with Toyota. I mean, not many people take a car across country with a boat on the back.
Hey, speaking of sponsors, if you want to call those potential sponsors, does someone sponsor your YouTube channel, Rip Some Lips?
Yes. Frable and Plano have been super loyal to us for the past 5 years. To think we were 14 and 16 years old when we connected with the company, and we're here 6 years later still with them. And
that's great.
They've been just a super loyal company to us, which is good, and we've been loyal to them. And that's how we are. We're loyal with whoever we work with because the industry is a small community, so you don't burn any bridges.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. And are you guys still making a few bucks at Joe's Sporting Goods?
We know we actually haven't worked at Joe's in about 2 years. We had our fair share of the retail industry.
Yeah. You're learning as
I can imagine. You're smart for your age.
Yes, you are. You are learning as you go. I'll tell you what, we're going to let you go. Grant Sommerhauser has Rip Some Lips. You want to see some fun YouTube videos, get a hold of these guys, Grant and Hunter. Rip Some Lips, and I thank you very much for being on the 4 Outdoorsman. It's fun to have the relationship for these 5 years. Thanks for being our friend.
Have a good one, guys.
Thanks. Take care, buddy. That's a sharp young man there.
Yeah. Man, what a fun thing to do at 20.
Well, you got
to
do it now when you're 20 because, you know, you get a couple of kids like you, and I've got 10 grandkids, and, you know, it's life changes real quick, pal.
Good for them. Quick. Well,
what do you got going this week?
I'm hopefully going to buy a boat. That's about it.
Well, let's go fishing. I'll tell you what.
Let's go fishing.
I'm working 3 Twins games, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then hoping to sneak to the cabin on Wednesday night and spend some time with my beautiful wife and celebrate our 37th wedding anniversary.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, you'll get there someday.
Someday, I
might
hope.
Might be with a different woman. You never know, but you'll get there. You'll get there someday.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, have a great week, and thank you, everyone, on Killer Bee Radio. Yep. And tune in to us next week on... Actually, next week, let's talk about this.
Oh, the State Fair, yeah.
We'll be at the State Fair. We're doing a special show from 11 to 12. Live at the State Fair. Please come down. We're right across from the Coliseum at the Bob area. We'll be live. So come on down and say hi. Hop on air. talk with us, and yeah.
Yeah, we'll be there both Sundays, 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock at the Minnesota State Fair. Stop in and say hi. Bring your friends and family. We're lining up guests. It'll be a lot of fun. So let's BS Minnesota State Fair next Sunday. Talk to you guys later on. Thanks for listening to the Four Outdoorsmen on Killer B. And, hey, I think Mark's got something to say.
Get outdoors. You're